Hi, I'm WTOP Entertainment Editor Jason Fraley, and I'm here with...
James Vanderbilt.
And he is the director of the new movie, Truth, which you guys remember in the newspapers from about, what was it, 2004-ish? Yeah. The journalism story about President George W. Bush's service, and ultimately Dan Rather lost his job over it, and the producer, I believe, too, right? Before we get to the movie itself, where were you when this news story actually unfolded, and you know, when you remember first hearing about the actual journalism part of it?
Sure. I was. I live in Los Angeles, and I didn't see the initial story on 60 Minutes, too, but I mean, I heard about it the next day. I mean, I think everybody sort of heard about it the next day because it blew up so quickly and was covered by everybody, you know, for the next 2 weeks. And it was just this sort of amazing kind of firestorm around it. And I experienced it, you know, just sort of like everyone else did as a citizen, just sort of watching it. And then it kind of, you know, after 2 weeks, Dan Rather apologized and the story sort of went away. And then after the election, he announced he was stepping down and people sort of drew a conclusion, obviously, between the two. But I never, you know, I never sort of thought about it as a film or anything like that until I read Mary Mapes' book about a year later, which the film's based on.
And she was the producer, right?
She was, yeah. So Mary Mapes was had worked at CBS for 15 years. She was Dan's producer. She had won 2 Emmys. She won a Peabody. For Abu Ghraib. She'd just broken the Abu Ghraib story, right, which is, you know, the amazing sort of prisoner abuse scandal, right, during the Iraq War. So she was, and she was Dan Rather's producer at 60 Minutes too. So she was really top of her game, top of her career, one of the top producers at CBS. And the next story she wanted to do was about President George W. Bush's National Guard service. And there was, you know, there had been some scuttlebutt and that he had not fulfilled his time in the National Guard. And so she put a team together to look into that. And what ended up happening is they ended up running a story on September 8th, 2004, where former Lieutenant Governor of Texas Ben Barnes went on the record as saying, "I got George W. Bush into the National Guard so he didn't have to go to Vietnam." And the other thing they ran is they had gotten a hold of some memos that were purported to be part of George W. Bush's National Guard file, mm-hmm, which has a great amount of holes in it if you look at it. And these memos seemed to slot in to where the holes were. Right. The story ran, and almost immediately there were accusations on the internet that the memos had been forged and CBS had been had, and that's when the thing all sort of blew up.
Right. Yeah. Take me into the moment when you're reading her book.
Sure.
And you're going through it. What's sort of running through your mind as you're reading it? I mean, on one hand, I'm sure you're captivated as a reader.
Sure, absolutely.
And, you know, and being aware of the events and everything that happened. But take me off. When does that moment sort of click in your mind where the filmmaker turns on and you're reading and suddenly you're saying, whoa, like, are you visualizing it as a movie as you're reading it? Or is that sort of after?
It was more after. You know, it's one of those things, too, where I've been,
because you'd adapted screens before, like Zodiac,
yes,
and yeah.
Yeah, so I read it not with the, at first with the eye towards making a movie, but there's always a part of my brain, I think, whenever I read any book, right, or any, where there's a part of my brain always going, is this a movie? I don't know, is there something here? And that, you know, kind of doesn't, unfortunately, ever turn off.
Just you're with that the rest of your life, baby. You
gotta... Occupational hazard. But so, and I think as I got farther and farther into it, I just got more and more interested. And I love journalism films. I mean, I've, you know, All the President's Men was such a formative movie for me when I was younger. And so, and you know, Zodiac, as you mentioned, is also in a way a journalism film, yeah, too. So I have always been fascinated with that world, and so the more I started thinking about it, I started thinking there might really be something here. And I was looking for something to adapt to direct at that point, you know, and I sort of around that time that I read the book, I had decided I wanted to make a run at directing and see if I enjoyed it or not. So all of that kind of coming together, I went, this could be really interesting. So I contacted Mary Mapes and to see if she'd be willing to option the book. And, you know, it's always one of those things where it's you don't know if there's a movie there until you do the legwork, or I don't, you know, until I sort of do the legwork. And spending time with Mary, spending time with Dan, and seeing what that relationship was the thing that really clicked it in for me. And I went, no, I know what this film is. I know how to do this.
Right. And this is your directorial debut,
yes,
right? Okay.
Yes.
Had you done shorts or anything before that, you know, even film school or something?
I went to film school. So my previous experience... my last thing I directed before this was a Super 8 film in like 1998 with like my friends in it.
Nice.
So There was a bit of a learning curve between the two.
Right.
But
you'd written for major, I mean, Fincher and, you know, a bunch, but between that then, so.
Yeah, no, and I've been able to be on sets, too, and sort of watch really great directors work. So I definitely was able to kind of, you know, observe, you know, the real guys doing it. So I got to take a lot away from that.
So, and obviously, you adapted the script, too, for your own movie here. So take me through, so this must have been a first-time experience for you in that regard.
Mm-hmm.
So before you've adapted books, let's say, and then you get to watch someone like Fincher bring it to life.
Yeah.
What was it like sitting there writing it? Are you writing a little more with a director's eye in mind? You know, are you writing a little more visually than usual because you know that, you know, are you actually putting connotations in the script, which is a no-no, but since you're directing it, you know what I mean? Are you at least thinking of how you're going to do it? Compare the two experiences.
As a writer, no. I wrote it the way I would normally write and just sort of went, what do I need? What do I not need? You know, the thing when you write a true life, you know, story and make it into a film is legitimately your biggest thing is time. Is we only have 2 hours, you know, you only have 120 pages to tell this story that has so many different angles to it. So it's like triaging. Do you know what I mean? It's like you just go, if you look at any book, forget about a book that really happened, but like you look at any book and you try and put it in a screenplay, you know, from the outset, 3/4 of the book isn't making it into the movie. I mean, just
what can stay and what's got to go?
What's can stay and what's got to go? What's the most interesting? What's the things the audience absolutely can't live without? And by the way, that's the editing process as well, is once you finish shooting the film, you look at everything and you go, okay, what do we absolutely need?
Right.
And if you don't absolutely need it, it should go. And that's, so, but in terms of approach, I think at that stage, certainly I wasn't, you know, I didn't write it more visually or I mean, if anything, I probably could write it less visually because I went, well, I know I'm going to do that, so I need to write it down. It was, you know, it's always the same kind of process of what's the best version of this story, you know, dramatically and how to tell it.
All right. So once you put that to bed and the script's written, put on the director hat.
Yes.
What, is there anything you picked up from watching past guys that have made your other scripts like that?
Run,
any tricks?
Oh yeah. Well, I mean, just in terms of approach, I mean, just watching David Fincher work is just so great. And because he's so focused and he focuses so well and sort of sees the, you know, it's sort of like it's like playing chess. He sees the whole board.
Right.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
And he knows how every frame will make you feel and, you know, visually, you know, and one of the challenges with this film is it's a lot of conversation.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, there aren't car chases, there aren't, you know, fist fights and stuff like that. So visually, how do you keep that interesting? How do you keep it, thrilling? How do you keep the viewer involved? And so sort of using all of those kind of tricks of, you know, where you put the camera, where you put, you know, your main character in the frame, you know, all the kind of stuff that we don't think about, you know, when you watch a film, but can subtly sort of influence your interpretation of it. That, you know, that stuff that David did. And also just watching how he is with the crew, watching how he works with actors. Roland Emmerich also was amazingly...
He did White House Down?
He did White House Down, yeah. So I got to say,
worked on that one.
I wrote and produced that, and so I got to do that with him. And obviously very different filmmaker, but a lot of more similarities than you might think. And watching sort of Roland's approach to it is, this is so much fun. I get to make movies. How cool is that? And I thought that's a great sort of attitude to have. And so I sort of tried to go into every day. The cast would tease me that I was relentlessly upbeat because I, you know, really came at it from a place of, how cool is this? We're making a movie today. You know, that's great.
You mentioned that you loved All the President's Men.
Yes,
and absolutely. Who doesn't? Especially living in D.C., it's like, it's a must.
Who has come out and gone, yeah, not for me on that? I don't know, really.
How do I feel about that?
I don't know about that All the President's Men, boy.
That's a good point.
That would be great.
Because there are movies that are polarizing, and that one's just...
Not polarizing.
Yeah,
no.
Exactly. So, you know where I'm going with this. So what was it like then to be able to be directing Redford?
I mean...
In another journalism.
He was great. Well, I mean, like, the pitch I made to him, and I'd written something a couple years before that he was going to direct, so I knew him a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
But I, you know, the pitch I basically made to him was, the lovely and talented Cate Blanchett had signed on, and I knew that I couldn't go to Bob until I... And by the way, I get to call him Bob. Which is really
now
cool.
That's really
the big takeaway.
Does he call you Jimmy?
He does not. He calls me whatever he wants. He calls me once more because I like a lot of takes. But he, um, But I wrote him this. I knew that he would want to know, obviously, who played Mary. Right. So once we had Kate, I wrote him this letter, and I told him about how much All the President's Men had meant to me, and I talked about how, you know, I think I said please a lot, and, you know, oh, by the way, your scene partner's going to be Kate Blanchett. Yeah, that's, yeah, you know, not, that's better than a kick in the teeth.
Oh, by the way.
But I talked about, you know, also All the President's Men and how much it meant to me and how fascinating it was, the idea of him playing a journalist again in the modern day, and how that was a film about two people who were doing a story about the President of the United States, and this is a film about two people doing a story about the President of the United States, and they have very different, obviously, they turn out in very different ways. And I thought that, you know, him being in this film would add that aspect to it, which I thought was a really great. They could be really interesting bookends,
right.
And he agreed, which was really, really wonderful. And he was so easy to direct. I have to be honest; like he's very aware of who he is. I mean, he's been, and I mean that in the sense of he has been, you know, capital Robert, capital right. Redford for a long yeah. time, so he understands the reaction people have to him.
And he's directed a bunch of great movies.
And he directed,
so he gets that.
By the first movie he directed, he won the Academy Award for. Yeah. So it's like, ordinary really, dude? Have. Really? Like, come on! Do you fail at anything? But he came in and he was, you know, very, you know, the first day he came in, we had dinner, you know, he flew down, and he said, listen, I'm here as an actor. I'm not going to look at the monitor. That's your job. I'm not going to worry about any of that. I'm here to serve the story and to work as an actor for you, the director. And so immediately gave me permission to do my job. Do you know what I mean? And let me know that there would know. Because, I mean, he absolutely could have, if he wanted to, at any point in time, you know, tried to take over or affect things. And he never did. And I think part of it is he loves filmmaking so much. And filmmakers. I mean, no one has done more for independent film in the last 40 years than Robert Redford.
Yeah.
You know, it's like in his spare time, he saved independent film.
Right.
When not being a movie yeah. star and saving our environment, Robert Redford
I'm
likes
gonna
to
be,
save independent
yeah,
film.
I'm gonna be Sundance and actually make Sundance.
Exactly. Yeah. And so so he was wonderful in terms of directing and would always take a direction. He always would do another take. He was never, you know, listen, nobody likes to do a lot of takes. And, right. you know, Bob would love to do five or six takes and then move on. But, you know, if we're on take 11 and I have an adjustment, he's down for it, you know. And what was funny for me was I really, with he and Kate, who's so wonderful and amazing, but also, you know, one of the titans. I mean, you know, I think we're going to look back on her career and go, well, that's yeah. one of the great.
No
we
doubt.
Already do.
No
but,
doubt
I mean,
about it, yeah.
No doubt about it. And so I really just had to not think about it. Like, I mean, I was like, I told myself, I'm like, okay, this is Bob and Kate who you
right.
work with.
Yeah.
And after we wrapped, I went back to Los Angeles, and one night, it was about 2 weeks later, and I was at home, and I was clicking around TV, and Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid was on, and it was the end of it, which is one of my favorite movies.
It's so great.
And so I'm watching
freeze
it.
Frame.
Oh, man. And so it's right before that. It's right in the scene where they're in Bolivia, they're loading
right.
up in LaForce. You know,
surrounded.
Is Joe LaForce out there? No,
yeah,
I think,
yeah.
you know, no. For good, for a moment, I thought we were in trouble. So it's like, it's the great, and I'm sitting there, I'm alone in my living room, and I had this moment where I went, oh my God, I directed Robert Redford in the movie. Like, it crashed in on me. Like, in a way that, like, I had to kind of put that aside through the whole shoot,
right.
and it finally hit me after the
yeah.
fact, and I was like, oh my God.
This happened.
You know, so I got to have my moment. Luckily, it was alone in my living room and not, you
after
know, on
fact.
Set in
yeah,
front
yeah.
of 200 people.
Well, you mentioned Kate and that you needed to kind of have her in place
sure,
before
absolutely.
You could get someone like Redford. Okay. What was it? How did you guys get her to agree to do it?
Sure.
You know, especially with the first time director, too.
Sure.
I mean, she's, you know, like you said, a titan, a couple Oscars.
Yeah.
Actually, just won the actress, what, 2 years
Don't
ago?
No, two, yeah,
yeah.
two, yeah, she
for
just
Blue
won.
Jasmine. So, what was her other one? The Aviator?
Elizabeth.
And so, you know, how did you get her to take that chance on you as a first time director? And then part B, once you actually got on set, how did you guys cultivate, or even before then, how did you
sure.
cultivate that first-time director, legendary actress relationship.
Sure, absolutely.
What's the tip on that?
Well, I think, you know, listen, in terms of how I got her, I mean, I'm still trying to figure that out, I think.
Yeah.
It's, you know, I wrote the script. We sent it to her through the normal sort of, you know, we went through her agent. And they actually sent it to her the day after she won the Academy Award, like the morning she won after she won. And I was like, oh, there's no way we're going to, you know what I mean? Like, come on. Like, nobody wins their second Academy Award and then goes, you know, I should really work with a first-time director next. That's a great idea.
There's a little light reading.
Yeah, exactly. And it's like, you know, why don't you work with someone who's never directed a film before, two-time Academy Award winner?
Right.
But she, you know, read it and liked it, and we got on the phone, and we had about a half an hour conversation just about approach and, you know, how I sort of saw it and how she, you know, what she responded to, and then she committed. And I mean, it was as simple and as difficult as that. And I was shocked. I was like, oh wait, she's gonna do the movie, mm-hmm. you know, with me?
Yeah.
But you know, she loved the character and she loved the story, and so we had that common ground. And then in pre-production, you know, we had dinner about once a week. I would go over to her house and she would cook. She's a phenomenal cook, by the way. She can also cook, which, you know, it's like, I'm like, are you bad at anything?
She could have won awards for that.
She's,
she really,
I mean, she's amazing. And we would sit there and, you know, have a cocktail and talk about Mary. We talk about Dan. We talk about, you know, how we both grew up. You just sort of get to know the person and find out, you know, what kind of things you share. And so, you know, by the time we started shooting, you know, we both sort of knew how the other one liked to work. And you have that conversation. How do you like to work? What do you think? How do you know? And she was very gracious in saying, you know, she's like, by hook or by crook, it doesn't matter if, you know, what, you know, however you want to do this, we can do this.
Right.
And then you're all trying to do the same thing, which is make the scene work and make it feel as honest and real as possible. And, you know, she's brilliant at that. And, you know, when we would get into the tall weeds, you know, I could go to her and say, you know, maybe try it this way, or what do you think about this? And, you know, it was always a conversation. But but that's what I think makes them great actors, is, you know, is their ability to just never quit on it, never go, oh, that's good enough, you know, is to constantly keep trying to make it better. And that's my job as a director, is to help them do that and to create an environment where they can do their best work and they don't feel the outside pressure of you know, oh, we got to move on, we got to, you know, it's really all about play. Awesome. And so that was really great.
Awesome. Well, I know we got to wrap it up. So real quick, final wrap-up question. We got this movie, Truth.
Yes.
And I just saw Spotlight, which was amazing.
Oh, it was great.
As well, yeah. What do you think it is? I mean, is it sort of like this zeitgeist, maybe a hunger post-Brian Williams? What is it going on that filmmakers or the public in general wants to see these journalism movies that deal with sort of the moral responsibility of reporters getting it right? What do you think it is?
I don't know. I wish I could answer that question. I mean, I can only sort of speak for our film, and I just think it's such a fascinating story, and it's such a fascinating time in journalism when this took place in 2004. Is sort of, I grew up with that sort of the voice of, you know, the voice of God journalists, you know, the
take what they say,
It's, we're in such a different place, and I think this is a fulcrum point moment for when that changed. And so I think that makes that story amazingly compelling. But I've always loved journalism stories. And I think that there's something so important about asking questions of people in power. And that's fascinating to me. I'm sitting right in front of you. You are, in a lot of ways, detectives. You know, you see, the reason we called the movie Truth is because it's the thing that everybody is really after.
Why is he drinking the Diet Coke
right
now? There's something like, here.
There's something here. You know, for the caffeine.
Yeah.
But I think
just wait.
Exactly. But I think that there's, you know, a free press that questions people is so important, and so important to our society. And if people are thinking about that now and talking about that now, that's not a bad thing.
Absolutely. Well, thanks so much for
taking
the time.
Thank you, my friend.
Appreciate it.
Take care.